your Bibles and you want to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6. I'm going to read some scripture, and you may not think it actually makes sense, but you just stay with me because it will be relevant to what the Lord is sharing. And this is, I know that it's something that God gave me, and it's prophetic in nature, and it's up to us what we do with it. But in Hebrews, the 6th chapter, if you begin reading with verse 16, it says, "For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before us." Now, the two immutable things is God's promise and God's oath. Okay? Verse 19, and this is what I really want to draw your attention to, this one sentence: "Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul." I'm telling you, your soul is going to have to get anchored. "Both sure and steadfast, which enters into that within the veil." That's where God dwells, you understand. We've got to get where God's living. You follow me? "Where the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Now, we're in a time — that was a very appropriate song that Kim was playing before we stood up. "The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you." Right now, the world is rocking for no reason at all except they're believing a lie that is designed to put fear in their heart, to where if fear can be placed in your heart, then you'll be grasping at straws and just listening to everything that comes across the tube, which is to your own detriment. Even watch the stupid thing, if you really want to know how I feel about it. But this is what the Lord said to me yesterday. When God's word goes forth, it brings order to chaos. You see this at the creation, in the very beginning. It says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and earth. The earth was void and without form," or "without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, and God said, light be." And what happened? He starts bringing — now note, this is progressive. Creation was 6 days. It was progression. That chaos was brought into order progressively. You with me? God spoke it into existence, and it happened. God's word is full of power. I promise you, God can back up what he says, can you? Interesting, isn't it? Obedience to God's word brings order without judgment. Disobedience to God's word brings judgment, then order. Now I'll show you something here. When God spoke to Jonah to go to Nineveh, which was an Assyrian city, and tell them in 40 days Nineveh is going to be destroyed because of its perversity, you understand. Ultimately, after Jonah's encounter with the whale, he ended up going to Nineveh and preaching 40 days, and God's going to destroy this place. And the king sent forth an edict that everyone in the kingdom was to humble themselves in sackcloth and ashes and seek the Lord. And because they listened, they avoided judgment, and it brought order into the place. Now, God's brought to the forefront instead of all the other things they're worshiping. You understand? All right, look at Noah. God speaks to Noah. This is 10 generations after God created man. The earth had become so perverse and so ungodly that God destroyed it. But yet, He did not do it without giving man opportunity to repent. You with me? He found Noah. Isn't it interesting that only one man in the entire world that he would peg as a righteous person, righteous in his generation? And God told him to build the ark. Noah is called a preacher of righteousness, not a builder of the ark. So what's he doing during this time? He's proclaiming righteousness, you understand. But nobody's listening. Everybody's doing their own thing. You follow me? And consequently, Noah and his family are the only ones that avert the judgment of God. They ride out the storms. The others are destroyed in the storm. You follow me? But God will set order. That's up to us how we want to follow that. Now, the easiest thing to do and the thing in your best interest is to repent. Tell God the truth. He knows it anyway. God's Word is impregnated with power. It has the ability to produce what it declares. As a matter of fact, in Isaiah 55 and verse 11, God says His Word will not return to Him void. It will accomplish the thing that He pleases. Whatever He says it'll do, it may not happen exactly like you want it to happen, but that Word is going to accomplish what God sent it forth to do. It'll prosper in what God pleases. You with me? Now, what we do with it determines what happens to us. Then He said this to me, "The storm around you does not have to be in you." But if you listen to the storm around you, it will get inside you. And fear will dominate your life. This is what's going on all over the world today. Honestly, nothing differently is happening this year than has happened any other year. Viruses have always been out there. They've told you for years this is a flu season. You need to do this. You need to do this. You need to do this. But now they're taking a step forward. And here again, I believe it's a precursor to Antichrist to see how much control they have over the world. So what they do is they take something that, you know, that's happened for year after year after year, and then they put this name on this thing, and then they get these figures, and probably a lot of them fabricated, not all true necessarily, but then they put these figures out to you to make you think that the world should be in a panic, when far more people have killed a year in an automobile accident than any of these viruses are affecting. You follow me? So what is it? It's a fear tactic to get the storm in you. If I get the storm in you, I can control you. And I can tell you right now, you're seeing communism personified all over the world. It's the powers that be controlling everybody else. And you better wake up to it. And then He said this to me, "The church has run aground. As long as it focused on the Spirit, it sailed forward and benefited many. When it started following the ways of the world, it ran aground and ceased to be a force on earth." I know when I was growing up, the church was a force. The church was one that was revered. The church was one that was respected. Oh, people make fun of it, mock it, and all this, and call you all kinds of names if you were baptized in the Holy Spirit. You understand. But they took notice of the church, And when they got in trouble, they would call somebody to pray to get them out. But then the church decided, well, we need our pastors educated. We don't want them following the Spirit. We want them following education. We want them to have these degree titles and all this other things. And we became more and more like the world. And the more we became like the world, the more the world gets on the inside of the church. Now the church has run aground and the church has ceased to be a force on earth. The church is just a club. It's a social club. And it's pathetic that it's gotten to that state. It was never ordained to be that. It was ordained to be different. Why do you want to be like everybody else? I thank God for delivering from you. I don't want to be like other people. I want to be like Jesus. And He's not like anybody I've ever seen. You understand? I'm not interested in status quo. I'm not interested in prestige and titles and all the other stuff that will absolutely take you away from God. I want to know Him. Then he said this to me. Mission trips have turned into self-gratification instead of missions for the Lord. People are devising their own thing. Instead of hearing the Spirit of God and following the Spirit of God, people just come up with ideas and call it God. And it's fruitless for the most part. We must wake up and admit that our ways are not the ways of the Lord and that our thoughts are not the thoughts of the Lord. We've been acting independently of Jesus. We've been doing our own thing, not God's thing. And I'm telling you, religion ought to make anybody throw up. It stinks. You understand? And if I have a lot of zeal this morning, you just humor me. Because I'm telling you, I hate what it's done to people. I grew up in the garbage. But thank God for revelation to get me out of it. And he said this to me. We, the professing Christians, we have been trying to lead the Spirit instead of the Spirit leading us. We want to tell Him where we're going and you come on and put your stamp of approval on what I'm doing. It's not going to work that way. It never has and it never will. And he said this, the time has come for judgment to begin in the house of God. Now, a lot of people don't understand what that means. But then he said this to me, the sheep and goats are being identified. In this time right now that people would call a crisis, I call a conspiracy, you're seeing people identified. Those who truly trust and believe in God and those who are just going in the name only and you know, being good people, doing good things, but not totally sold out and committed to God. He said there's a separation. There's going to be an identity made to where you'll know those who are truly committed to me and those who are actually in this thing for themselves. Repentance from following the flesh is the order of the day. You understand? Military, they gave you the order of the day. They tell you everything. They tell you what you're going to wear and all this other stuff. He said repentance is the order of the day. Repent. Repent from what? Repent from following the flesh. Repent from not following God. Repent from not being led by the Spirit of God. Repent from the dead works. That's Hebrews the 6th chapter. We're to put our faith toward God, not faith on stuff, and we are to repent from works that aren't initiated by faith. What we do should be because we heard God. Just a corresponding action to faith. We must stop coming up with our own ideas and plans and calling them gods. It's amazing what people do in the name of God when God didn't have anything to do with it. You know, in Jeremiah, God speaks to Jeremiah about the prophets that are prophesying to the nation of Judah. He said, who were these saying, God said? I didn't say anything. They're prophesying out of their own heart. They're not following me. They're fabricating. And I'm telling you, many of your so-called prophets today are fabricating. They're speculators. Not speaking by the inspiration of God. Do they get some things right? Yes. So will familiar spirits. But that doesn't mean it's God. You better try the spirits and know what's initiated by God. Then he said this to me personally. I've called you to set the house in order. The church and the training center. Get it in order. Then he said, order is mandatory in order for my will to be accomplished. Well, what's going on? Now, don't think that there's going to be an earth-shaking thing that takes place, okay? That's not what it's about. It's following the details. You understand, setting order is setting a protocol. In corporations, it's called a chain of command. There is a president that runs the corporation, you understand. And, you know, having a background in trucking company, I can tell you that the dock workers don't tell the president what to do. And in that chain of command, it flows down. Presidents, vice presidents, directors and supervisors and all this. There is not a back door. And so everything is to follow that protocol. It's the same way in the church. Everything is to follow the protocol. There is no back door in the church. The pastor's office has a door, and anybody is welcome to walk into it and ask him anything they want to, but don't try to go through a back door to get there. We have no secrets to hide. You understand? And when we set things and we put things out, then we expect it to be followed that way. Nothing should be done without going through proper protocol. Even recording, singing, whatever. It's not everybody doing their own thing. This is supposed to be a unified thing, and every one of us are actually supposed to be working for God. But if you're just assuming you can do this and you can do that and you can do the other, you're going to break rank, and God is not pleased with breaking rank. As a matter of fact, he said this to me, my heavenly army does not break rank. Each one fulfills his assignment. My army in earth must follow the same pattern. Protocol must be set and followed. Do you know the Psalm, 103 talks about the angels hearkening unto the voice of His Word. When I'm responsible for things, don't go ask somebody else. You come to me. I'm the one that has the legal responsibility. So if I make a bad decision, then it's on me. If you make a bad decision, you put me in a precarious situation. You understand? So we set protocol. And then he said this to me, God's kingdom will not be established in status quo. That just simply means common, ordinary. He said it will be established in fully committed people. Fully committed people. Those are the only ones that are going to see the kingdom of God operating. Person standing beside of you be dominated by the kingdom of the world, but you're dominated by the kingdom of God if you're fully committed to God. He said, committed people will fully trust me. They will not try to advise me. Many people today are trying to advise God, tell God what He should do. We need to be still and find out what He wants to do and cooperate. Those who are truly led by the Spirit, and this is another thing He said to me, those who are truly led by the Spirit will see God's kingdom established and operating in their lives. Those who are truly committed, being led by the Spirit of God, will see the kingdom of God. That just simply means God's dominion, following God's order, doing things God's way, will be operating in their lives. He said, "My kingdom is a kingdom that transforms lives from the inside out. Religion tries to do it from the outside in, to tell you what you should and should not do. God deals with your heart. He changes the inside, and then what you do outside is because of a desire, not because of a fear. Religion uses fear tactics against you. It will work you to death, making you think that works pleases God. Works will not get you saved. There's only one way to be saved, and that's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then if you are really truly dedicated to the Lord, and you're following the Lord, following the Spirit of God, then you'll do works that's pleasing to God. They'll be motivated by God, not by you, not by somebody else." Then he said this, "The church must be purged from the spirit of Cain." The spirit of Cain was a jealous spirit that got so much that it murdered, got so bad it murdered his brother. Now today we have laws to keep us from murdering, but the spirit of Cain is in the church because jealousy will assassinate the character of people. Talk about people. Gossip. You understand, to try to destroy them with words. And then he said it has to be purged from the spirit of Balaam. That's a spirit of greed that will cause you to give bad counsel for money's sake. And this society is dominated by greed. The spirit of Korah, that's usurping authority, thinking too highly of yourself. And the spirit of Absalom, that's a flattering spirit that deceives people. It tells them what they want to hear, and so they will. It's politics, you understand? It's telling you what you want to hear to try to get you in a position. You're not interested in the people, you're interested in you. And that's what's going on in the church. We have the spirit in the church. People not interested in people, they're interested in themselves. But they'll do some good things, and they'll tell you this, and they'll tell you that. It has to be purged. I don't need you to tell me if I preach good or bad. I'll know it. I'll know if I obeyed God or disobeyed God. It's not a fact of good and bad. It's right or wrong. You understand? I don't need anybody patting me on the back and giving me no awards. As a matter of fact, I'm extremely skeptical of all that stuff. I've seen what it does. Those that'll pat you on the back will stab you at the same time. You understand? We better be delivered from that. And then the spirit of Jezebel. Oh, that Jezebel spirit's a horrible spirit. It uses somebody else's authority to get things done. You understand? It's an anti-Christ spirit. Every one of these is anti-Christ. You understand? That'll get rid of God's people, but yet call herself God. Jezebel will put her seat right in the church. You know, Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. His ministers are as ministers of righteousness. You understand? They'll be dressed up, and they'll look like preachers, and they'll look like this. But it's like Jesus would say, your father's the devil, not God. And I'm going to tell you, there's many people in the church today, their father is the devil, not God. It has to be purged. Then he said this to me, when I begin to move mightily by my spirit, some will be passed over because of their lack of commitment. Now, if you look at Jesus' qualifications for a disciple, it was you have to deny yourself. You know what that means? You're not important anymore. Take up your cross. What's the cross? It's an instrument of death. The cross kills you. It doesn't make you uncomfortable. It kills you. We're talking about carnality. We're talking about the flesh. You take up the cross to where you're not feeding the flesh. You die to the flesh and you're led by the Spirit of God. He said, if you don't, you cannot feed on my disciples. He says you have to forsake all. And he names it. I mean, he talks about family. You understand? Boy, this will ruffle feathers right here. How dare you to say that I'm to forsake my father and my mother and my wife and my children and my lands and my possessions. You don't even know what he's saying. He didn't say go hide in a cave. He didn't say take a vow of poverty. He said nothing can be more important to you than the Lord Jesus Christ. That must be the priority of your life. And if Jesus is not the priority, you haven't denied self. So you cannot, not will not, you cannot be my disciple if you don't leave this. That's why in the 6th chapter of John, when he said what he said, many of them left. People talk about the multitudes that followed him. They forget to tell you about the multitudes who left him because of his non-compromised stand. And he even told his own 12, you want to go too? I will not change for nobody. This is the way. Now you decide if you want to pay the price. As a matter of fact, he said concerning discipleship, count the cost. There's a lot of people say, I want to be your disciple. Count the cost. See if you have what it takes to be a disciple. And he gives you the example of, you know, what person building a structure would just begin building without first sitting down counting the cost, whether he has enough money to build it. Or what king with 10,000 would go against a king with an army of 20,000 without first sitting down and figuring out if he has the power to defeat them. It's easy to jump on the bandwagon and say, oh, I like that, I'm going to do this. But what about when the going gets tough? Do you have what it takes to get through the storm? You with me? Then he said this, the time has come that mediocrity will no longer be condoned or accepted by the true church. It will be confronted. It won't be accepted. It will be confronted. Don't play games with me. Don't straddle the fence. Don't try to hold on to the world and hold on to religion or whatever. Identify yourself. I want to know if you're my enemy. You know, Vietnam, they had Viet Cong and then they had the sympathizers. The sympathizers wouldn't shoot you. They'd just hide and feed the ones that would. Then you're my enemy. If you're sympathizing with the enemy, you're against me. People would swear they're not against God, but they're sympathizing with the enemy. So they're against God. And the true church is going to confront things. Then the last thing that he said to me was very interesting. Take out the enemy's communication. Now this is a critical thing in military strategy. If you can cut off communication, you can win some wars, you understand? Because the enemy can't work up a plan against you. They can't set up against you. They can't get in the proper position against you. But what's happened to the church, it's been the communication center for the devil, not God. All this stuff that's going on right now, And all these things, you know, that are being said to get you in agreement. What are you doing when two agree on earth touching anything? I'm not agreeing with this garbage. There's too much power in agreement. I'm going to get in communication with God. I'm not talking the stuff. You understand me? When you start talking the stuff, you're communicating for the devil. Break the communication. He said, take it out. Take out the enemy's communication. Quit talking in agreement with the world. Quit talking all these things other people are talking. Start saying what God says. Communicate the Word of God. As a matter of fact, in Philippians 4:8, He tells you what to think on. You understand that you won't talk about this stuff unless you're thinking about it. I don't think about it. I don't talk about it. Aren't you scared? No, I'm not scared. My God's bigger. You understand? So what do we communicate? Whatsoever things are true, which this stuff's lies. Whatsoever things are honorable, there's no honor to it. Whatsoever things are just, it doesn't qualify. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if it has any virtue, if there's any praise, think on these things. Well, that will disqualify the entire news media. Now, we're going to have to make a choice whether we communicate the Word of God, think on what God says, or think on what the world says. I don't want the perverts infiltrating my mind. If they do, your mind's not pure. It's impure. You're thinking the wrong thing. You think the wrong thing, you talk the wrong thing, you do the wrong thing. But what if you get yourself full of the Word of God? You'll think like God, you'll talk like God, you'll act like God, and you won't worry about what's going on around you because that kingdom is not controlling you. The kingdom of God's controlling you. You're living from a rule on the inside rather than being dominated from the outside. God wants us led by the Spirit, not by the flesh. So it's wake up time. It's wake up time. You know, sometimes I'd like to just grab people by their shirt and just shake them. Don't you see what's going on? Don't you know what's being done to you? And you're playing the silly game. You're setting yourself up as a communication center for the devil. Destroy it. Take it out. Cut the lines. It's going to have to be done in the church. But where the church is not talking like the world. I'll just give you a side thought. Back some time ago, I was reading in 2 Corinthians 4:4 where the King James Version of the Bible says, whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of those who believe not. As I read that, all of a sudden, this just rose up on the inside of me. The God of the world is not the devil per se. The God of the world is the flesh. Satan influences the flesh. The only influence that Satan has over anyone's life is the flesh. And so when you look at it, what's the God of the world? People are serving the flesh. They're bowing to the flesh. They're worshiping the flesh. They're doing what the flesh wants. So then the flesh becomes their God. God wants us walking in the Spirit. And if you walk in the Spirit, you serve the true and living God, not serving the flesh. Amen? Let's get it right. You know, we don't need the ship run around. We need to be led by the Spirit. The ship rides out the storms. You understand? I've been in them. Spiritually and physically. I can remember being in one storm and I was on a tugboat. And when the swells were so high, when the tugboat would go down between the end of the swell, between the waves, you couldn't see the tugboat. And that's pretty significant. And you looked out, all you see is water. But you know, it'd ride it. Ride that thing. it'll ride that. I'm telling you that if we'll walk in the Spirit, we'll ride the storm. Noah rode the storm. You understand? He was in what we could call an ark of safety. That's Jesus. And if you stay in Jesus, you'll ride out the storms of life. They won't get you. You understand? They won't take you down. You'll fulfill your purpose. I'm telling you, the church has a mighty purpose on earth. But we will not fulfill that purpose. We're to shine as lights. You with me? We will not fulfill that purpose of shining as lights if we surround ourselves with darkness and get in agreement with darkness. Come out from among them. Be separate. You understand? He's calling us out of religion into reality. Not form, not fashion, not stuff fabricated by men, not men trying to control you. And that's all religion is. It's just a control freak. But He wants you to come into Him led by the Spirit, that if all He's wanting is your best interest. Listen to me, follow me, and it'll always be in your best interest. I'll take you right through the storm. I think of Psalm 23 where He says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Walk through, through, through. You understand? And then in that same psalm, He says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." In the presence of my enemies. I can eat at a banquet table and they can't do a thing about it. You get the picture of what He's saying? We think, beam me up, get me out of here. He says, no, you walk in, if you'll submit to my kingdom and walk in my kingdom, then you'll be at peace no matter what's going on in the world. You'll have a peace on the inside of you, and you can sit there and eat from a rich dish because I'm feeding you while the enemy watches, and there's not a thing they can do about it. You with me? Let's bow our knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's be led by the Spirit of God. Amen. Okay. Now I've got it all, Papa.